Thank you, Bro Joe. Hallelujah. That's encouraging. Are you encouraged by that? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This is good. The Word of God is good. It's getting better and better, and it's sweet, and it's just challenging, but it's good. Jesus said, when God created the earth, he says, and it is good. Everything that he creates is good. Created man, he says, it is very good. Hallelujah. We had a wonderful time yesterday. Before I preach, I just wanted to say thank you to all the Papua New Guinean community that turned up, the families. I had to do something that God has actually asked me to do, and that is to set some foundations in the church and for myself right first before we can move on into the year. And some of the foundations that we've started was praying and fasting, and we're still going to do that. But yesterday I invited the Papua New Guineans that are inside the church, because I'm a Papua New Guinean, and I was sharing a little bit on the spiritual heritage of where we come from. And one of the things that by the way, if you're seeing a shadow that's moving at the back there somewhere, that's not the spirit, that's just Dave. Reflection from Dave's tough bodyguard body that's moving around. So, yeah, focus on me, don't focus on the shadow. You know, that was what was happening to me. I was sitting looking at the shadow going, oh, we've got to do something about that. Anyway, and one of the things that I really wanted to address the PNG community is that, because I said, I've taken on this role. And one of the greatest things about leadership is this. And, you know, sometimes when I watch movies, and I like war movies. Somehow I just like war movies. Not the rubbish that comes from Hollywood, but the story of World War, the generation that fought in those wars, World War II. Amazing generation. Amazing men, young men. You hear these stories. You read about these stories. You read about where they come from. And it's just like, wow. These people signed up to go and die. And some of the things that, every time I watch movies like that, God speaks to me through the words of the leaders that are actually leading these men. And one of them was this, that as the 101st Airborne Division was ready to jump into Germany or into France during World War II, and they were the first to go in before the actual fleet of the division turned up. And one of the things that they said to the commander was this: I will jump, or I will follow this man into battle without a second thought. Said, I will jump with him into battle. And I thought, wow, this is a sign of true leadership. Whatever that commander did, whatever he said to the man, whatever integrity or principle that is in his life, spoke really loudly to this young man. They looked at him and they said, we're going to jump with you, no matter what, no matter what it takes. And I said to the community, I said, before I do this, before we continue to do this, I want to know that you've got my back. I've got your back, but I want you to know, as Papua New Guineans, that you got my back. I said, before we bring that to the church, I want to talk to you guys first, because I can relate to you guys. I can relate to the community. Another greatest statement that was made by some of the greatest commanders was this, that they built relationship with the men before they went in. And during the Vietnam War, some of the greatest commanders had to go and meet. One of them was a man. If you watch this movie, it really speaks to me. God speaks to me about things in I don't know. God's a warring God. God's about warfare sometimes. So he talks about these things, and he talks to me clearly just using the dialogue that's happening in the movie, and I go, oh, there's a message in there. And one of the famous statements made by this one of the commanders is that it was from the chopper pilots. He had to actually go and see the chopper pilots, and he said during the Vietnam War they used a lot of choppers to take soldiers out of the jungle and install soldiers in there to fight and then pick them up again. And so he actually went up to the commander of the chopper pilot and said, listen, I don't know you, you don't know me. But he said, when the fighting starts in there, I want you to think that there's somebody in there that I know, that I've built a relationship with, that I need to go and pick up and bring back to safety. So And he said, "So I want to be your friend." And he shook his hand, and that's how it is. They made friends. And those things really spoke to me. And I said to the community, I said, "I need you to know that you've got my back. I know the church has got my back, but I need to know culturally that you and I were placed here for a purpose." It wasn't a great idea. It was a God idea for us to be here. Amen? And so they washed my feet yesterday. We had a powerful time upstairs. The presence and the power of the Holy Spirit came down. Nobody had a dry eye. We were all weeping up there. Pastor Joe said, "Pastor Ben, I am from Fiji, but I represent the Pacific and the Papua New Guinea, so I'm going to wash your feet." So he proceeded to wash my feet, and it was the most amazing experience. Some of the people have never experienced anything like that. And I said to the community, "We are going to wash our leaders' feet. And all of us are going to wash each other's feet. And you see what God's going to do." Some of the foundations that we miss sometimes. But Jesus, when he washed his disciples' feet, he said, "I didn't do that because it's a great thing or it's a good idea." He says, "I'm showing you how to be a servant, to serve." You and I are here to serve God. Amen? We're not here to serve our own agendas or our own. People come to church serving agendas. I got one thing only that I serve, and that is God's agenda and God's will. Hallelujah. He says, "Let my will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that is all I'm here to do. And that is all you are here to do. Amen? So with that, I want to say thank you to the community. And I know greater things are happening. Something happened up there. Something broke in the spirit in my own life. From now on, you won't be seeing me sitting down in worship. I'm telling you, I'll be rolling on my head, worshiping God. From there to there and back. So stay out of the way. You're not going to dance with me, then stay out of the way, because I'm going to come there. Hallelujah. And devil is not going to know what hit him, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Oh, this is great. This is good stuff. The Word of God. You know what? This morning, as I was preparing my message yesterday, I did it halfway through. And then I went home and I had to complete it. And then I went into a little blank or like a little dry spot for a moment. I'm sitting there. And I thought I'll just watch some videos for a while. You know, God speaks to me through videos. And so I sat there and watched a few things. And then I thought, oh, nothing yet. So I said, I'll just go and sleep. And then, "God, you speak to me whenever you're ready." Early in the morning, I got up and I started praying for a couple of minutes. And then I was, you know, getting ready to get up to go to get ready to come to church, and I was wrapped in my towel, brushing my teeth. And as I was going down like that, boom, 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 revelation after revelation. I was running for the pen. Come out of the... Judith's in there cooking. She's seeing this big black guy running out with a towel, half naked, looking for a pen to actually write the revelation down. I said, "Hang on, God, I'm still brushing my teeth. Hey, hey." Hallelujah. God's been speaking to me in some... One of the places that he's been speaking to me to is in the bathroom, in the toilet. God is a God. He's got a good sense of humor, I tell you. You know this, and when you do that, he does that to you. He catch you in some of the most awkward moments. I don't know about you, but that's me, and I'm telling you that. Hallelujah. How hungry are you for the things of God? What are you feeling right now? What do you want change in your life? What is it that you need to change in your life? What is it that you want God to do for you? Are you hungry enough to do those things? You know, with every achievement or anything, there's always got to be a sacrifice. Always. You've got to sacrifice some things so that other things can be, other things can happen in your life, or things can be achieved in your life. When the disciples, you know, I keep going back to this all the time. When the disciples couldn't cast the demon out of the boy, they asked Jesus. And every time God gives me just revelations on this word alone, he says, "Why couldn't we cast the demon out?" And Jesus answered them and said, "This kind only comes out by prayer, which you are doing, and fasting, which you aren't doing." And I went, wow. He says, "This kind only comes out by prayer, which everybody loves doing, and fasting, which nobody wants to do, because it's too hard. it's too hard to sacrifice ourselves for some food and some things. And I was jokingly saying, the first commandment that God has ever given to Adam was, do not eat from the tree. But he said, do not eat. And fasting sometimes is a wonderful thing for your spirit. It builds your spirit up. It sharpens your spirit. And you and I, when we walk like that, when we get into the spirit, and I'm going to use that illustration again this morning because I keep coming back to it. And some of you are saying, wow, now I truly understand what the spirit is and what the soul is, mind, will, and emotion, and what the body is. And one thing we need to starve is the flesh. When you starve the flesh, God can speak to your spirit clearly. Hallelujah. There's some things that you want to do, that you want to achieve in your life, but it doesn't happen. And God is saying, that kind only comes through what? Praying and fasting. Some of you are looking for changes in your life. Some of you are looking for jobs. Some of you want something to happen in your life. And God is saying, it comes out by what? Prayer and fasting. Not just demons coming out from prayer and fasting. Everything in your life. You want to achieve something in your job. You want to achieve something for your life in your schools, young people. You want to achieve something in any areas of your life. Prayer and fasting. Fasting breaks everything that is in your way. Fasting gives you the capacity to actually grab something from the spirit. God doesn't deal with the flesh. God is spirit, and he deals with the spirit every time. Everything that comes through you comes from the spirit. The revelation that comes to you doesn't come from the body, it comes from the spirit. And we're going to keep talking about that. Something is going to happen in ourselves, first you, and then you see the explosion and the dynamic of the church. When Jesus said to Peter, he says, Peter, upon that rock, he says, it's not the rock, he says, Peter, you're just a little pebble. But he said, the revelation that you spoke, the revelation that came out of your mouth, that is the rock that I'm going to build my church on, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hallelujah. He says, Peter, you didn't hear that from flesh and blood. You had that from my Father in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. When you open up your spirit, I'm telling you, God is going to throw some stuff in your spirit you've never, never experienced before. I said to the guys, you know, with the role that I'm with now comes the responsibility and the sharpness in the spirit to hear from God. Hallelujah. A spirit world is a spiritual world. God doesn't deal with the flesh. God deals all the time with the spirit, and he speaks to the spirit man every time. And that's why fasting is so important for us. If you haven't tried it, do it one day of the week. Just one day. Miss a meal. You're not going to die. We said that already. We're still here after 21 days. I can't wait to get on another 21 days. You know, when we came up here and we were starting to eat, and I'm sitting down eating all this meat, and I'm thinking, this never used to taste like that before. All of a sudden, meat doesn't taste good to me anymore. And that is a problem for me. I'm thinking, that's not good. I'm going to miss out on all the chops. And all this lovely Italian pasta that Paul Musetti cooks. But God has done something to my spirit. I don't devour food anymore. I look at it and go, I'll just pick. Look at the size of me. Who picks? I don't pick. I just go with a shovel and go right in there. Get in there before everybody says stop. And my wife's going, you're eating too much. You know, this shirt never fits me. I am excited. You know why? Because the fasting has done something to my spirit, but also to this beautiful body that you're looking at right now. Oh, hallelujah. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If I'm going to prepare my spirit, then I have to prepare the body too. Yes, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. God is good. You know, we have broken fast now, but we're going to keep going. Amen? Hallelujah. As we fast and pray, your spirit man begins to sharpen, which allows you to hear from God clearly. Fasting and praying helps you to walk in cutting-edge spirit. Cutting-edge, church. This is, you'll be able to discern things even before it happens. Hallelujah. We want to do that. You see, when Jesus said, and upon this rock, I will build my church. This is the very first time Jesus mentioned church. He always preached about the kingdom of God. And he mentions church. He says, and from this rock and from this revelation, what is the good of a church if it's just sitting there with people but nothing is happening in the power? There's no dynamic. There's no dynamo expression of the Holy Spirit. We might as well just shut it down and go home. The Holy Spirit is like that. If you do something in God and the Holy Spirit is not involved in it, shut it down. It won't work. But if something is happening in it, then you know the Holy Spirit's in it, then you know that you're doing something right, that you're actually walking upright before Him. Righteousness again. Hallelujah. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's another thing. Everybody seeks after the kingdom, forgets the righteousness. He says, no, you can't. The two go hand in hand together. His kingdom and His righteousness. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. You got your Bibles? Or your iPhone? Or you've got the screen up behind me? One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around Him, listening to the Word of God. Am I going too fast? Are you with me? Verse 2. He saw at the water's edge two boats left by the fishermen who were washing the nets. Now everybody reads that and they go, oh yeah, and then he talks about Jesus sitting on the boat and preaching the gospel. I saw it as Jesus. There's two empty boats ready to be used by God. Sometimes we need to empty ourselves for God to be able to use us. Amen? I've learned one thing, is that I am going to go into this, play this role without knowing anything, without saying to God, I know everything. I've been a Christian for 25 or 30 years, and I know everything. I know the Word. I don't do that anymore. Because the revelations that come always come a different way every time you look at the Word of God. And so I try to allow God to actually use me. So I've said, God, I'm going to empty myself like those two boats that was left empty, and the fishermen were already giving up, washing their nets. Hallelujah. He got into one of the boats, and one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. You and I need to empty our boats. Let Jesus use the boat. Let Jesus use the earthen vessel that you carry and call it a body. Let Him use it. Empty yourself out. Empty all the knowledge and the experience that you've had. The Holy Spirit doesn't operate with experience. Everything about the Holy Spirit is fresh, new, every time. There's always a new anointing, every time. This Sunday, it's a total different anointing from last Sunday. Hallelujah. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night. Oh, sorry, let's go back to verse 4. I went a bit too early there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets. And this is Simon. And it's like us, doubt every time. Doubt and unbelief. Oh, my message is about hearing from God and just do it. Like Nike. Do you hear it? Just do it. God doesn't want you to question it. Just do it. Hallelujah. That's the title of the message. And so Simon said, Lord, we've been working all night. We didn't catch anything. Doubt. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night. Verse 5, haven't caught anything. But because you say so, not your will, not my will, but your will be done, Simon automatically realized that it's got to be his will, not Simon's will, but it's got to be the Lord's will. He says, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And what did the Bible say? And they pulled up these fish, these nets, and the boat started to sink. When you allow the Holy Spirit, as you fast and as you pray, and you allow the Holy Spirit to move in you, something begins to happen. Not just in the church. The church doesn't get filled up, but your life alone gets filled up with the blessings and all the promises that God has for you. Comes through that. Obeying everything that he says. In other words, Simon said, not my will, but let your will be done. Hearing from God and obeying him is very important than hearing from him and not obeying. Obeying and following the direction of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit wants us to go, will bring what? Harvest into the church, will bring blessing into your family. God says, just be obedient. He says, it's not hard. We make it hard for ourselves when we walk in disobedience. Hallelujah. When they had done so, they caught such large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boats so full that they began to sink. Hallelujah. I want this church not only to be full, but to be empowered by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. And you and I, as that we've been in this church for that long, should start getting into that, to shape up our spirit so that the Holy Spirit can move without any blockage at all. Empty yourselves so that the Holy Spirit can operate in the vessel without hindrance. Empty yourselves so that Jesus can use you to fish for men. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit has taught me a lot of things. I went to halfway through Bible college and I gave up. I'm one of those guys that if I can't find God in anything, I just walk out. I don't waste my time. Because when I came from PNG, I saw God. I experienced the power and the presence of God. And when I walked into this country, I thought, you know, I walked into the first church and I went, this place is dead. Why? Because I've just come out of the power and the move of God, so powerful that I walk in and people were just sitting there. When the worship was on, I'm thinking, what's wrong with these people? But that's just me. And I know you too. Sometimes you go, I'm on fire, but what's wrong with these guys? You know, my leg is starting to do the... oh, whoa. Hallelujah. So like I said, if you see me dancing, something's happening to me. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you call me. Hallelujah. I know my God and he knows me. And that's the attitude that you're going to have with God. Don't let man stop you from worshiping God. Don't let man. You worship God. You were created to worship him. It's natural for you to stand up and be crazy. David did that and his wife says, look at this guy. He's supposed to be the king of Israel. David says, I don't care what you think. Hallelujah. Because David experienced the presence of God. Hallelujah. When you experience the presence of God, I'm telling you, nothing will touch you. Nothing will stop you from being crazy in front of everybody. And we're going to change that. It's starting already. Hallelujah. If I'm dancing, then everybody's going to dance. I want to see some moves. I've not seen you guys dance for so long. You dance and everything will deliver. You'll get delivered from just dancing. Under the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I said, lock everything down. Lock the flower pot down because I'm going to carry that pot and dance with it. Lock everything down, Paul. Key everything. Lock that cupboard up. Anything that's a leaf or a plant, I'm going to get it and dance. So make sure you lock it down. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm excited. Woo! Give the Lord a clap. Give him a clap. Give him a clap offering. He deserves it. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, I worship you. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? My message is about hearing from God, understanding and having the revelation of who Jesus is. And he asked his disciples, he says, who do men say that I am? Verse 14, so they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Others say you're Jeremiah, come back. Or one of the prophets. They were guessing. You know, Jesus Christ knew who he was. He knew who he was, what he was born to do. He was born to die. So when he was standing in the front, when they took him to the chief priest took Jesus and stood him in front of the priest and started to question him, Jesus never answered. You know why? Because he's a king. He doesn't answer in a religious court. He didn't bring religion to this earth. He didn't give Adam religion. He gave him dominion over a kingdom. And so Jesus is a king. And when they placed him in front of the high priest, he shut up. He says, wrong court. Get me into the right court. And when they put him in front of the Roman governor, he says, right, now I can talk. Why? Because I am king and I'm in the right courtroom right now. You can try me as a king in the kingdom because I am a king of a kingdom. But you cannot try me in a religious court because I am not religion. Jesus didn't bring religion. Religion has destroyed the church. Read the Bibles. He was talking about the kingdom. When they stood him in front of the priest, he says, I'm shutting up. You know why? Because you don't have the right to judge me. And then they put him in front of Pilate. And Pilate says, do you know that I have the power to take your life, or take your life, or give your life? Jesus said, you cannot do anything unless my Father gives you the order, the right to do it. He says, you know what? I can call a legion of angels. You know what? You know how much a legion is? He says, but the legion won't take care of the business. One angel will destroy the Roman army. Jesus knew who he was. He didn't let man tell him that he was Elijah coming back, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He says, I am Christ. And Peter, hallelujah. Everyone was guessed and said, you are this, and you are that, and this. Peter says, guys, move aside. I'm going to have a go at this. Stay back. Everybody, stay back. He said, Jesus, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus didn't say, Peter, you are such a brainy guy. You got it right. He didn't say that. He said, Peter, you didn't get that revelation from your self, from the flesh. He says, but my Father in heaven revealed that to you. You had a revelation of who I am. Hallelujah. That's the revelation that you and I need to understand. Hear from God. Hear from him. There's a lot of voices floating around. There's a lot of false prophets coming in, ready to destroy the church. Don't believe everything that everybody says. Read your Bible. Go back to the Word. Line it up. Read the Word of God. Because that is the thing. The Bible says that everything will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. That is the thing that will guide your life. Young people in YWAM, hallelujah. Stay with the Word of God. That is the only thing. You will find every other thing, but this one thing. Stay with it. Oh, this is good. Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. Peter was operating. Can I have three guys please up here? I want to show you guys the illustration again. I know you like it. Yes, thank you, Simon. One more. Thank you. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal the revelation to you, he says. But my Father in heaven spoke to your spirit and revealed who I am in Christ Jesus. Your body, your soul, and your spirit. The soul, as I said before, always has the hardest job because whatever you feed it, it has to feed the spirit. And when the spirit says, oh, it's unrighteous, the soul says, well, it's the only thing that the body's been giving me. I got nothing else but rubbish. But if you feed it with the Word of God, then the revelation will come. You will understand who you are in Christ Jesus. When you do, nothing will move you. Don't let anybody tell you who you are. They don't know you. Only God knows you. You listen to people say, oh, you are this and that, and then you feel really old, you know, insignificant and go, oh, you know, I'm nobody. No, you're not. You hear from God. Only God knows you. Why? Because he created you. So hear from God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Sit down. I'll be using you that a lot more. Simon Peter answered and said, Jesus, you are Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah or Bar Jonah. For flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Simon Peter is a tough fisherman. And he loves shooting his mouth off every time. And he's still doing it. And he's the guy that took the guard's ear off after Jesus, after having a revelation of Jesus Christ. Some of us are like that too. Amen. In other words, he said, Peter, your spirit man received this revelation about me from my Father in heaven, who is spirit, and flesh and blood could not have revealed that to you. When you pray, you will understand this very scripture. And when you fast, if you don't know who you are, man will try to make you become who they think you should be. Jesus was the person, Jesus was the man that knew who he was in Christ Jesus. He was here, born to die, to redeem us. That was his job. So when he was standing in front of Pilate, he says, Pilate, I can call a legion of angels, 600 legions, to come and take care of the business. So he said, you don't have the power over me. So he said, shut up and kill me good so I can die and fulfill the call that I was called to do. Hallelujah. Jesus feared no man because he knew who he was in Christ, in himself. Hallelujah. Jesus said, Peter, you are the little stone. But the rock that you spoke, that's the rock that I'm going to build my church on. Not Peter, but the revelation that he spoke. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 to 23. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priest and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life. Peter, after the greatest revelation that he recognized Jesus and said, Christ, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, hello, boo-boo. After Peter had that wonderful revelation of Jesus, straight away his mouth got him into trouble again. Fear, doubt, and unbelief is an amazing thing. Hallelujah. When Jesus said, I'm going to go and die on the cross, Peter in verse 22, took him aside and says, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. He said, never, Lord. He said, this shall never happen to you. This is Peter. Just a minute ago, said, you are Christ, Son of the living God. Straight away, a couple of verses down, he says, no way, this is not going to happen to you. Sometimes we are like that. Sometimes we're on fire for God. The next minute, we're down here, woe is me. Jesus didn't look at Peter. He looked at the spirit behind that statement. And Jesus turned around and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind concerns of God, but merely human concerns. He says, Peter, you are now flowing in the flesh. When you recognize me, you were flowing in the spirit. But now, all of a sudden, you are in the flesh. Notice that Jesus rebuked Satan. He didn't rebuke Peter. He rebuked the influence that was coming from Satan. You know, most of the thing that I talked about with these three people that were standing here, the body, the soul, and the spirit. Every time the devil wants to do something to you, he always deals with the soul, the body, mind, and emotions. Some of us make decisions out of emotions. That's a dangerous place to make decisions about God when you're emotionally unstable. Jesus doesn't want you to make decisions based on your emotions and your feelings. God doesn't do feelings. God works with the Spirit and the revelation, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus and what His Word says about you. Hallelujah. We can be like that. Most of us were like that. Straight away, one fire, next minute cold. That's why people backslide, because they lose the revelation and they're dealing, and the enemy is dealing with the emotions. The devil can make you do nothing. Remember that. He can force you to do anything. But the will that God has given you is a dangerous thing. And I said that before. It's a precious thing because you have now the same power that you've got, that God has, but you also have a dangerous thing in your hands because now you can go against God. The same will that He gave you to walk upright before Him, you can use it to walk unrighteousness. And that's what the enemy always uses. He says, I don't have to worry. I'm just going to deal with His will. And I said all the time, I said, between here and sin, you have the power. But once you say, you know what? I'm just going to try this. And that's the wrong place to be. Jesus said, Peter, get behind me. He said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind concerns of the God, but merely human concerns. Hallelujah. Jesus said, Peter, you are now walking in flesh. In other words, he's saying, Peter, you were walking in spirit before, now you're walking in flesh. He said, make up your mind. You're going to be with me in the spirit or in the flesh? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. The devil always questions the word of God. When he came to the garden to tempt Eve, he used a question. And I was saying that to the music team this morning. I said, God never questions His word. When God speaks to you, He speaks in command, in commandments. He says, Abraham, walk upright before me and be blameless, because I am the Almighty God. He says, Adam, do not eat from this tree. Everything else you can do, but do not eat from this tree. He says, be holy, for I am holy. You don't discuss the word of God. You don't take it into Senate and discuss it. The word of God is not democracy. The word of God is from the kingdom. The king is the one that makes the decree. You don't change it. You don't have a discussion about it. If he says homosexual is sin, it is sin. Period. You don't take it to the government and say we're going to discuss about it and then get everybody to vote yes about this. When God says it's sin, it's sin. When He says, when you divorce someone, it's sin. If you live in adultery, it's sin. No sin is bigger than any other sin. Every sin is sin. God says sin is sin. Murder is the same as what? Stealing. Same thing. His word, you don't discuss it. You don't have a board meeting about it. You don't change it. Why? Because it's the king that has the decree to speak the word. We live in a kingdom principle. We don't live in religious principles. And I keep saying that all the time. When you understand the kingdom of God, you will understand His word. That we don't discuss what the king has said. He said, Adam, do not eat. But the enemy comes in with the question. And the first thing he said is, so did God really say that you'll become like Him? God do question you during your quiet times in prayer, but He will question you based on His word. But the enemy will always question you against God's word. Always do that. So when you find yourself questioning God's word, then you're in a dangerous place right now. Always hear from God. Always align everything that you hear with the word of God. God will always confirm with two or three people that it is from Him. Amen. Bible says, the enemy said, did he say that you shall surely die? Did he really say that? And sometimes when you pray and you hear from God, then some other things come in and go, is it really God? God, are you speaking to me? Is it someone else? But then God will confirm always, if it's with your partner, if you're praying together, God will confirm. If it's a group of people, if we're a church praying together, God will confirm. And He's been doing that. Some of the things that He's been doing has been amazing. And we know that we're on the right path. Amen. So always remember, when you start questioning His word, that means that you're now wanting to go and change stuff. And that's what the world is doing right now. Hallelujah. Notice in the word that Eve never ate the fruit. They never ate the fruit and swallowed it. She only tasted It was a little bit of taste. This is what temptation is all about. Temptation will allow you to taste something or touch something or see something. And that's it. That's all the devil needs. And before you know it, you are in it, covered above your head in sin, because you dare to go and taste something or try something. Eve only tasted it and gave it to Adam. And notice when Eve ate the fruit, nothing happened. But when Adam ate the fruit, Bible says, and then sin, and the eyes are open. Why? Because he's the authority. And God was waiting, no, don't touch it. And he finally said, yeah, then let me try some of that stuff. Drugs is like that. Alcohol is like that. All the other stuff that you can think of, sin, starts off like that. Just a taste. Let me just have a sniff of that. Let me just have a bit of a of that. Let me just try that, a sip. All it needs, all the enemy needs, is just a taste. He doesn't need you to eat the whole thing. They only tasted the fruit. I wonder why Apple Mac put that on all the computers. Maybe probably to remind us. You open up, those Mac users go, oh yeah. God's speaking. Hallelujah. I shouldn't be looking at things. Amen? Don't go quiet on me. It's good stuff. Receive it. Eat it. It's bones. Swallow it. Some of those nice little stuff on the corner. Chew on that too. That's the word of God. Hallelujah. Peter. Read his word. Far be it from you, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. And Jesus said, Peter, you just claim that I am Christ, the Son of the living God. And now you're saying a totally different thing altogether. Never be double-minded about what God is talking to you about. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish now in 1 Kings, chapter 19, verse 1 to 4. And we start off in 1 Kings chapter 18, when you read the amazing works that Elijah the prophet did on Mount Carmel, how he challenged the prophets of Baal and ended up executing all of them at the brook Kishon. We picked up the story up in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah. So let the gods do to me, this is the message now, more also if I do not make your life as the life of them by tomorrow about this time. This is a message that came from Jezebel. And this is the man of God, Elijah, most powerful man at that time. And when he saw that, he arose, and the Bible said, and he ran for his life. Went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. And worse, left his servant there and kept running. He didn't only run to Beersheba. And the poor servant, who doesn't even have anything to do with this problem, is running with Elijah. He said, what are we doing? He says, just run. I'll just leave you there. And then he said, where are you going? You stay here. I'm going to keep going. Imagine that. Sometimes we like that too. What are we running about? Oh, we just run. Just run. Let's get out of here without even an explanation. And he left, and the Bible says, and he left him there and kept running. The poor servant had nothing to do with this. Yet he was running with the master, obeying his master. But he himself went a day's journey, chapter 4, verse 4, into the wilderness. Where did he go? Into the wilderness. He didn't go into a city or a modern place. He just ran into the wilderness. And the Bible said he went to a cave. And But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. How big is a broom tree? When I read that, I thought, broom? Have you ever seen a broom tree before? In PNG, they could change that to guava tree, mango tree. The Sunday school teachers in PNG, they're amazing, I tell you. There's some funny stories about that, but we won't do that. No. Elijah was a man that heard from God. He was so used to hearing God's voice. And the word of the Lord always comes to Elijah. All of a sudden, when the word of man came to him, He forgot all about the works that he had done. And listen, there was an army coming after him. It was just a word they sent forth. Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you the same way you did to the prophet, my prophets. Elijah had that and ran. There was no angels or demons running after him. He was just running on his own. There wasn't an army coming after him. Sometimes the enemy uses intimidation. That's all it does. The enemy can do nothing to you. All it can do is create intimidation, make you scared. That's all he can do. He's got no power over you unless you give him the space. He has no power over you. He can say things and do things and tell other people about who you are and say things about you. Stay strong and true because you know who you are in Christ Jesus. Don't let men get you down. Get delivered from men. Get delivered from people. I'm going to pray for you to be delivered from people so that you don't get affected by people and what they say. You know who you are in Christ Jesus. And that's enough. Jesus said, Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. That's an enough testimony or enough description about Christ Jesus to keep me strong. If Jesus knew who he was, then you and I should know who we are in him. Hallelujah. It was only a word coming after Elijah. It wasn't an army. And he ran, left his servant and kept running. And then went into a cave. What cave are you hiding in right now? Are you running from something? Are you running from words of men? Are you running from things that have been said? Hallelujah. Elijah was running from just words, mere words that were coming out of Jezebel. There was no army coming after him. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. And the Lord said, this is the Lord speaking to Elijah now. You know, God is amazing. Every time God speaks, he says, Joe, what are you doing here? Or when Adam sinned, he says, Adam, where are you? He knew where Adam was, but he'll always ask. And the first thing the Lord said was, go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and a powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in it. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle voice. God says, hey, where are you? Hallelujah. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went outside and stood out at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He says, what are you running from? There's nobody running after you. Let's stop running from man's words. Let's stop running from man's intimidation or the devil's intimidation. The devil uses that to stop you to really achieve what you were called and purposed to do in God. Hallelujah. You with me? You know, in this day of mammoth noises and loud music and high pressure promotions and in your workplace, it's difficult for some people to understand that God speaks in a still, quiet voice. God doesn't speak in thunder and lightning. Sometimes he does. But most times, when you're in a quiet time with God, he always speaks in a still, quiet voice. The Bible calls it the still, quiet voice of the Holy Spirit. Sharpen your spirit, man. Sharpen your ears so that you can hear the still, quiet voice of the Holy Spirit. God uses little things. Hallelujah. You know, when he wanted to start a Jewish nation, he sent a little baby called Moses. That's powerful. Little man called Moses came out and started the Jewish nation. That's powerful. And when he wanted to deliver a nation from bondage, what did he send? Oh, he sent Moses, sorry. But he wanted to start the Jewish nation, he sent Isaac, another little baby called Isaac. Little things. God uses little things to start big things. Hallelujah. Use David, little fella, with the slingshot, took out a big thing called Goliath. God will use little things to change the situation in your life. Little things. He'll send the most insignificant person to come and see you. You'll be expecting some tough guy, but then you get this little crippled guy that's going to come and change your life because God's going to use him. Open your ears. Open your spirit to accept things like that. Be prepared for God to speak. Not in a big thunder, lightning expression, but just like what he did with Elijah. A still, quiet voice. Hallelujah. In the midst of turmoil, we need to really stop and listen to the word of God. Listen to what he's saying to us. In the midst of your crisis, stop. Don't go, oh my God. When you're going through crisis and turmoil and some problems, stop. Settle down. You know, it reminded me of this movie again. You see, God speaks to me in movies. As the American soldiers stand up at this very spot in Vietnam and fought this war, and they were throwing everything at these guys, and they surrounded them, and it was called broken. When a message goes out from the radio communicator to the headquarters saying broken arrow, that means that they are now surrounded in all areas and are about to be overcome by the enemy. And in the movie, the radio operators were going crazy. They were just blabbering on, and the commander, hallelujah, it spoke to me like Jesus. He walked in there and said, shut up, settle down, and communicate clearly so that we can hear, so that the military or the Air Force can send the planes in to save us. He said, relax, it's okay. I know we're surrounded, but relax. In the midst of turmoil, in the midst of crisis, in the midst of your problems, God says, relax. Know that I am God. He's going to take care of the problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by what? Prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and peace, and the peace of God, which transcends or overcomes, surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, be still, it's okay. Know that I am God. I've got everything under control. Your heart, let your heart be at peace. Your mind be at peace. The Holy Spirit taught me one thing, and I'm going to share this with you, this amazing, amazing power of the Holy Spirit. During that crusade we had, we were preaching the gospel at the marketplace. And it was so powerful. It was under the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the pastor wanted to come and speak. But as he was walking out, the Holy Spirit said, no, let the young fellows talk. Let them preach the gospel. You just wait here and then go up and make the altar call when they finish. And it was right in God. Anybody know where Gordon's Market is? If you're Papua New Guinea, you know where it is. If you live in Moresby, it's one of the biggest markets in Moresby. And it's so crowded with people. And when we started the crusade, the band, the music drew these people over to where the everything was happening. And then it was so powerful. People were praising and worshiping. And then the word came out, preached by all of us. The pastor just stood there. The Holy Spirit said, wait, don't go and preach. Let the young fellas go. And he knew that we were all fired up by Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we were like, really, you know, shoot straight and ask questions later. That's the kind of message that was going out, you know. And in PNG, you can say anything. Nobody's going to take you to court. You can say anything. And at the end of it, say, yeah, I said it. Under the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we were just going for it. And the Holy Spirit was there doing everything. And then when the altar call came, the pastor walks up and starts to make the altar call and calls the people out that whoever wants to give Israel life to Jesus, come out. And the music was playing. I'm sitting there behind the drums, watching, and there was nothing. Nothing happened. And I'm saying, is the Holy Spirit really here? Are you here, God? And we kept going, and we kept going, and the altar call was made. And finally, the pastor said, I'm going to make a last call, and then we'll close. And he did the last call, turns around to the music team, and he goes, all right, guys, pack it up. And so everybody's pulling out plugs and unplugging the guitars and putting it in the case. I'm sitting here taking all the drums, the toms out of the drums, putting it in. And then all of a sudden, we had this wailing sound from the market, inside the market. And it was like when Papua New Guineans weep for someone, I'm telling you, it's just totally crazy. It was so loud, and it was coming from that direction. And then all of a sudden, it started at that direction. And then all of a sudden, the whole crowd started to weep. You know, then the Holy Spirit said to me, whoa, this is so powerful. It was like he said, are you quite finished? Have you guys finished making all this commotion and noise? Because I'm about to move, so quieten down. And when he moved, I'm telling you, everybody came out. There was people coming out to give their hearts to Jesus. And we ran out of people to pray for these people. We were announcing for Christians. Any Christians in the crowd, please? We need you to pray for these people. There's more people coming out than us that were doing the crusade. And then the Holy Spirit said, I am the main act. You are just a warm-up. You warm up the crowd. I am the main act. When I come out, everybody step out. Because something is going to happen. Hallelujah. And that's what's going to happen in this church. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit. We are not going to block the Holy Spirit to move. We're going to allow Him to have free reign over the church. Hallelujah. Are you with me? It's going to be great. I'm telling you. When I saw that, I went, oh, now I understand. Now I understand when the Holy Spirit comes and when the Holy Spirit goes. And He can leave just like that. If you offend the Holy Spirit, if you make Him feel like He's not wanted in this place, He'll leave. And then you might as well just pack the church up, close it down, shut it down. A church without the Holy Spirit operating, there's no point in doing it. And He taught me this lesson very well, that I've never forgotten that lesson. I always remember that, and I will always share it. Hallelujah. I'm closing now. Matthew chapter 24, verse 5. For many will come in my name, claiming I am Christ, and will deceive many. Matthew chapter 17, verse 15 to 20. Beware, God says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are what? Ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Jesus said, I don't care who you are. How powerful you preach the message, how amazing you are, how amazing you prophesy. He says, show me the fruit. He says, you will know them by the fruits. If an orange tree is bearing mango, something is not right. You'll know that. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or someone who works in the Didyman to actually understand that. If a coconut is bearing apples, something is wrong with the tree. If the tree is not bearing anything at all, something is wrong with the tree. Jesus cursed the tree and says, die, because there's no fruits in you. So bear fruit, bear much fruit in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Allow the fruits of the Spirit to come. And watch for those guys that come and say, oh, I'm the Christ, or I'm the new, I'm this and I'm that. It's happened. And these guys are here. These people are here to destroy the church. They're already here. Sheep in wolf's clothing. Hallelujah. Therefore, by their fruits. Sorry, verse 17. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Hallelujah. I'll close with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. And finally, wonderful promise. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take on the stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of high places. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you have done what? Everything. To stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet, hallelujah, fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And what did he say? After all this armor you put on, pray. He didn't say put it on and go and fight. He says put it on. And after you've done all that, carry all this heavy armor, pray. In the Spirit, in all occasions, with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, let's always keep on praying for the Lord's people. The angels are the army that fight for you and I, not you and I. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. We just petition God. God, something's happening over there. God says, angel, take care of that. You just put on your armor and pray. Walking with this all heavy stuff. Pray. And fast. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we honor you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word. Thank you for your presence. Can I have the music team up, please? Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you breathe upon your word, that your word has gone forth, that is, Lord, in the hearts of your people now. Thank you, God, that, Lord, as a church, we pray that we will always listen to the still, quiet voice of the Holy Spirit. Lord, teach us to be silent. Teach us to be still and know that you are God. Teach us to hear your voice, God. Amongst all the business of this world, amongst all the noises that happened around the world, around our community, around our neighbors, even around our family, Lord, help us to be in the midst of that, hear you speak. Lord, we thank you. We honor you. We love you. We are so grateful for what you're doing in the church. This is your church. Father, I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit that you will lead us. Every person in this room was called, was purposed for something. And I pray that, Lord, as we continue to walk and seek you and look to you as our source and portion in all things, Father, that you will always guide us by that still, quiet voice of the Holy Spirit. Father, it won't be a thunder and lightning and all the commotion. And though you are a God of power, you are a God of fire, but, Lord, you speak always with a still, quiet voice. Lord, we thank you. I pray for your word that is in the hearts of your people. Thank you, Lord, that I know that those that are preparing the hearts, if those that are not saved, we pray, God, that they will make that decision today, this morning. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen.